This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Somewhere on the list of why making a radio show is so fun would be this. Surfing the internet is part of the job. In some other offices, people have to Google on the sly. We, however, consider following links and electronic crumbs rather productive and often leads us to our next guest. Producer Taylor Quimby was just doing his job when he clicked on a link to Guarlingo, a beautiful, brilliantly executed blog of essays, art reviews, photographs, poetry, and miscellany. Imagine our luck when we discovered that the creator and content manager for the site lives here in New Hampshire. So it's time to meet the blogger. Michelle Aldridge also works as a program assistant at the McDowell Colony in Peterborough, which means she's here with us in the studio. And thanks so much for coming in on such a sloppy day.
Thanks for having me.
Guarlingo, what does the title of the blog mean?
It sounds like a nonsense word, doesn't it?
Yeah. I thought it was for that, you know, hairband guar.
Yes. The word Guarlingo is a Welsh word for the sound, a rushing sound a grandfather clock makes before it strikes. And supposedly no other language has a word for that sound. And when I was searching for a name for my site, I just fell in love with this idea. And I think it applies to the site in a lot of different ways, particularly in regards to the creative process. His book, The Gift, the writer Lewis Hyde makes this really eloquent case for art being a gift and not a commodity. And a key part of his argument is that artists have to let go of their work at some point and release it into the marketplace. And he says it's the failure to do that that creates blocks for artists. Lewis says that it isn't really the commercial success of a book or a painting or a recording that matters. It's the act of making it and sharing it. So I thought the tagline for Guarlingo, the movement before the moment, captured this idea of movement really beautifully.
Oh, yes. That swoosh right before the dung,
yes.
You know. Well, here's just a little scan of just a portion of what's on Guarlingo right now. There's a literary meditation on the one-year anniversary of the Tucson shooting by Deanne Stillman. I hope I'm saying that properly. Color photographs from America in Transition, some fantastic photographs. A tour of the Tate Modern, a love letter to Medusa. I mean, where do you get these ideas?
I know. Actually, the problem isn't finding the ideas. It's choosing from all of them. I read a lot, and I just, working at the McDowell Colony, I do have my finger on the pulse. And art, music, film, and books have always been very important to me growing up in Georgia. And I've always worked in the arts in some capacity. I've worked as a librarian, an editorial assistant, a docent. So the site's really an extension of my personality. So these are things that I'm going to do regardless of whether or not I have a blog. I'm going to go to museum shows and go to concerts. And this is just a way for me to share these discoveries with others.
Oh, and it is a place we just get lost in it, you know, ever since Taylor discovered it. It's terrific. Now, let's talk a little bit about this process, because your latest post weaves in this discussion about how artists face financial anxiety. And there are also collages by the artist Mark Wagner made in, I think, entirely from $1 bills.
Yes.
Which is a terrific example of how posts tend to cross disciplines.
Yes.
So is that a goal for you, or does it just happen organically?
It is a goal. I think that's one of the ways the site's different from some blogs. I was inspired partially by the multidisciplinary nature of McDowell, which is a place where composers and architects, filmmakers, visual artists come together. And what struck me was that they all have the same problems and the same challenges of making a living. They struggle with fear and with blocks and all of these things. And the conversations that happen around the dinner table or the conversations I have with my friends, in a living room are not contained to one discipline. Artists don't live in boxes. A visual artist, you know, buy novels and writers go to concerts. And so I really wanted this cross-pollination. And I that's one of the things I just love is I don't have to be kind of contained. I can pull things together in interesting ways.
Well, looking at the creative process all leads you to these creative spaces. Now, you're also an artist, and you take photographs here of artists and musicians inside of their homes. Now, tell us a little bit about this. This is one of the frequent series on Guarlingo.
Yes. In fact, I have a new piece coming up with the visual artist, New York painter Kim Uchiyama, which is going to be really great. And creative spaces looks at artist workspaces, and it's an in-depth interview series. I usually start by going into the space, and I spend usually a whole day looking around. And Anna Schulite, who is featured in one of the stories, she described me as an archaeologist unearthing the relevant nuggets in her studio in Harrisville. But it's so revealing just to see, you know, what books are on an artist's bookshelves, what's hanging on the wall. Is it a messy space, a clean space? You learn so much by going into these spaces. I also did a piece on Red Heart the Ticker and their farm in Marlborough.
Yeah, they've been guests here. In fact, they came in live and spoke to us. This is a husband and wife team. Let's hear a song. This is Mothers in the Graveyard. This is from an album of traditional Vermont folk tunes called Your Name in Secret, I Would Write.
Mother's in the graveyard, I'm on the ground, look for me. Mother's in the graveyard, I'm on the ground.
Well, besides being very talented, this is a beautiful couple to look at. What did their space look like?
Oh, it's so interesting because it wasn't a single studio space. It was a whole farm. They live in Marlborough, and I visited just after Hurricane Irene had hit. And it was quite difficult to get to their farm because the main roads were closed. But they live on this family farm. Robin's grandmother was a Vermont song catcher, collected these amazing folk songs, and her house is still there, and Robin and Ty live on this property. So I had a chance to go into Margaret MacArthur's home and to see all of her instruments and her folk art collection. And this is the space where Robin and Ty recorded this album. And so there was a really interesting energy in that room, and you could just feel the generations.
You have another regular post called The Sunday Poem. How do you get the rights to these kind of poems?
Well, luckily, I you know, poets are like the most easily approachable of artists. They are so happy for any attention that they might get. And, you know, I do know some poets, but some of the work comes to me. I seek things out. And when I find something I like, I will just contact the poet and ask for permission.
So, you know, I wonder how you fund something like this, Michelle. It must take an awful lot of time.
It takes a ton of time. It's really a labor of love, and it doesn't really bring home the bacon yet, but some readers are kind enough to donate to the tip jar, and I also get some small funds from sales from the store, and it's leading to new opportunities. I'm beginning to get some offers to do some talk about the arts and do some freelance work, which is exciting.
Well, what do you know about people who come to your blog? What do they love? What are they looking for?
Yeah, I think that readers just want to feel in the know, and they don't want to feel talked down to. They want to feel like they've got their finger on the pulse of something special. And I think artists want community. It's lonely being an artist. And I think the main thing people are after is that feeling of connection.
Well, you know, you're making me look a lot more cool because I'm going to start posting your
yes.
on Facebook. So I want to thank you for that. And thank you so much for coming all this way today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Michelle Aldridge is program assistant at the McDowell Colony in Peterborough and also the woman behind what we're going to say is a fantastic, remarkable, and even awesome blog, Guarlingo. You can find a link at our page, wordofmouthradio.org. And make sure you have an hour to spare before you do. There is plenty to look at. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today. Listen in on Saturday and all next week for more Word of Mouth. You can also hear past segments that are archived and available at wordofmouthradio.org. We're always on the lookout for new sources of content, whether they be blogs, tumblers, juicy Twitter feeds, so you can send us your tips at our webpage or Facebook. And you're bound to hear your suggestion hit the airwaves in the near future. In the meantime, remember to drive safely now that New Hampshire has finally received its wintry makeover. I'm Virginia Prescott. Join us again Saturday at noon for Word of Mouth here on New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby,
Virginia Prescott, and senior producer Rebecca Lavoie, with oversight and direction
from Abby Goldstein, NHPR's vice president of programming,
and web support from Brady Carlson,
and Courtney Kenya.
Andrew Perella gives technical support,
and Dan Colgan. Dan the man runs our board.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individual,
not those of NHPR, its board of trustees, or its underwriters.
Really anybody else.
For information about the show, to listen to past segments, post a comment, or read our blog,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
Or use the on-demand tab on the NHPR app.
You can join our community of listeners on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Word of Mouth.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production
of New Hampshire Public Radio.